And welcome back for another Black Watch Profile. I'm your host, Thorn Rain. With me, as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. Kind of a productive day so far. I think we're both kind of working on some great things for 2020. So once we're done with these next couple of weeks of interesting, very different interviews, we should have our Christmas break, New Year's, and then come back in January with another new look with some new stuff. So everyone stay tuned for all the fantastic changes coming soon.
And speaking of those different interviews, tonight we have our first one of kind of a different series. We're looking at the support of Tier 2 in the coming weeks. Tonight we have none other than the DPS prodigy, Sugar Free's father, better known as Sugar Dad, coming from the Atlantic Showdown when he sat on the couch with, I believe it was ZP and Avast. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Not too bad.
Good.
I'm going to apologize up front for my raspy voice. I am getting over a bug. For those that have young children, you could probably relate. They're like walking petri dishes. So
yes.
We get sick often. When one gets it, we all get it. So just forewarning.
Cool. No worries. So I guess we're going to start off with normally we go through like a player or a coach's like gaming journey, but I got to ask the question, like, do you play games at all? Or is this something that your son just picked up and just got all on his own? Like, or do you go back to like Nintendo and SNES kind of stuff? Or is this not your world?
No, for sure. I'm old school. So Atari 2600, you know, is where it started. Actually, I think I played Pong. I was around when Pong was around. So if that dates me at all, was partial to the Froggers and Donkey Kongs and Pitfall, stuff like that. And probably all the way up till Nintendo, like Super Mario, I got into that pretty hardcore, which I know is still alive these days. But
everybody loves Mario.
Yeah. But if you were to ask me what I play like competitively, and when I mean competitive, I mean when I'm spanking my kids, is Tekken 7.
Oh yeah. So some FGC, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I actually do get down with Tekken, just Tekken, but that's the only thing that I can really compete with my kids on.
So. That's fair. So kind of rolling us into this next one here. Being a father, I have a 16-year-old son who loves Fortnite, and I drive him all over and try to support him as much as I can. What were your initial thoughts when Sugar Free came to you and mentioned that he wanted to play Overwatch professionally, not just as, you know, time in his bedroom?
Right. That's such a funny question. I never knew when he even got involved with the game. The point where I understood that there was something there more than just, you know, the hobby and playing in your room type thing is stuff started showing up at the house in like boxes that my wife and I did not order or pay for. And I was like, what is this stuff? And, you know, as a parent, first thing you think is, you know, it's no such thing as something for nothing, right? What's the catch? Why are you getting all this equipment? And he's like, oh, you know, the guys are making fun of me because I don't even know what they were making fun of him for. Maybe his mouse wasn't, you know, baller enough or what. But I'm like, but you're spanking them on, you know, you know, moderate equipment, you know, work with it, right? But so that's when I realized that it was more than just kind of a hobby, because if somebody's sending you stuff like that, mm-hmm. it's because they probably think you could use it. Like, you know, those kids in Cuba who are playing soccer or baseball with no shoes or whatever, that type of thing. So that's how I understood that he was a part of something that, you know, was a little more serious at that point.
Cool. What time, like, what about when it came time to like sign that first like academy contract, when now he's going to it's just not like he's playing in tournaments and stuff, but now it's like now his money is involved, and he's still 13 yeah. 14 at the time. So
yes, he was actually, that's interesting you bring that up. That's probably the another part to when I realized how serious this was, that you know, it's like, hey, Dad, I got a contract I need you to take a look at, or talk to your lawyer friend and make sure everything's cool. And I'm like, yeah, just, you know, send it. Meanwhile, it's like 40, 50 pages long. And I'm like, what are you getting involved with here? And
are you buying a house?
Right. Yeah. I mean, a mortgage application isn't even that, you know, involved. But I at that point, and he was 13 at the time, which I later found out he was the youngest to be signed, I guess, to a team professionally. I don't know if it was just Overwatch specifically, but that was a big deal. I mean, I was like, hey, now you're contractually obligated here. You've got to do this, and that. And so we realized that, you know, we weren't gonna like give him a hard time about playing, you know, hours and hours like he does. But it was pretty cool actually to know that he was stepping into something that that was how should I say, there, it was formal, you know, it wasn't just a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's comforting. Yeah, you know, it wasn't scary, it was just enlightening, I guess, that he's into some big boy stuff now.
So you kind of mentioned that he plays a lot, and that's something that we kind of know most pros do, is practice a ton, but he's also still in school and going through that kind of stuff. So is that something that you as a parent are like needing to step in from, like, hey, listen, I know you're on this team, I know you want to play professionally, but like, you got homework to do, you got to go to class, whatever? Or is that something that like he kind of recognizes on his own, that like, if I want to continue this Overwatch thing, I need to kind of get this other stuff done first?
No, he dropped out of school like at 12. No, I'm just kidding. I was reading one of the chats when they were streaming in Atlanta, and they were like, Lenny, you're in Atlanta, you were in Korea, Germany, blah, 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 blah. I was like, and I think it was Kodak. It said, oh, yeah, he dropped out. Yeah, he's a pro now. So, I'm sorry, your question was about schooling?
Yeah, like, do you need to kind of step in as a parent and kind of make sure that he kind of gets the schoolwork done and does his other adulty things now? Or is he kind of taking over and recognizing that he has to do school and stuff in order to be able to play Overwatch still?
So, actually, he, as well as my other children, have been homeschooled. For almost 10 years now. And yeah, I don't know if he would be as good as he is if he went to traditional school. And my kids have all, with the exception of him and my younger kids, they've all been in both public and private schools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people worry about you know, what socialization and things like that, and that's never been an issue with my kids. But but it is a balance, you know. We do keep them involved and occupied, you know, as that's half of our job as parents, right, is to keep our kids from being bored to death and experiencing new things. So he does a real good job at balancing. He could probably do better. But what kid is good at balancing anything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, got to remind him to brush his teeth and, you know, stuff like that. But it works. It works well.
Yeah, that actually answers our next question, because my son being playing in Fortnite tournaments and other tournaments and stuff, he's questioned a couple times about being homeschooled. His mom is not too keen on that. We do see that a lot of the younger pro players and even streamers, some of the streamers that are out there, transition over to a homeschooling. But it's cool to hear that that's something that you guys had already been doing. That wasn't a hurdle that he had to worry about going into it.
So I'll give an example of why it worked with us. Is we were doing quite a bit of traveling. There was a child with special needs that required a lot of attention way above the norm, and it just would not work well having them in schools or different schools. Mm-hmm. Because I have six kids, and so, you know, it's not just picking them up and dropping them off at one place. It's multiple places, it's multiple activities. And so when we incorporated homeschooling, we were able to we were flexible with how we schedule things. Mm-hmm. Both scholastic wise and extracurricular. So like, we knew one of our kids, he was just, he was like two grades ahead, he was still falling asleep of boredom. And so we were like, okay, these kids need to be learning at a different pace. Mm-hmm. And learning different things, because here in Florida, you know, most of their schooling is getting ready to pass the state, what are they called, like those,
the standardized testing.
My kids have them. It's like you're just basically getting ready for passing that test. They're not learning anything like a lot of the real world stuff that, you know, my kids are very into. I mean, stuff that you learn when you travel to other countries, or budgeting and investing and, you know, just real life stuff. So we're able to do that. And homeschooling is not for everybody. I mean, some people are very lackadaisical about it, and, you know, they're not pushing any particular programs or curriculum. They're just, you know, looking for an alternative to sitting in classes. But it works. We make it work.
Oh, yeah.
Cool, cool. So then this is something that I've seen you kind of post on Twitter about here and there. And I guess what would you say to tell parents who are like not super sure, they know their kid is getting into playing a esport competitively? What would you kind of tell them to ease their mind, or like what kind of advice would you give to parents whose kids are starting to get into esports and playing professionally or semi-professionally?
So what advice would I give to parents of aspiring? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a great question. I would say, you know, be supportive like you would if your child wanted to play the guitar, or they wanted to learn how to cook or do ballet. I mean, you know, most parents wouldn't think twice to take them to practice and get them all the equipment that they need, or get them additional coaching and things like that. Esports and anything esports related shouldn't be anything different. I think the problem comes from, you know, guys like me, we only looked at video games as, you know, something that you just do when it's raining outside, you know, or you're bored, you know, you just want to play a game. I mean, you know, I hate to sound like the old dude when I was growing up and walking uphill both ways and this, you know, all that, but I mean, there was no competitions. There was no whatever $1 million prizes and traveling and or maybe there was, but I wasn't aware of it. But I think what happens is a lot of parents that grew up with that, you know, mentality is like, well, you know, gaming is not a real career. you can't do that long term. And I've never said those kinds of things, because I mean, after meeting some of the people that I've met in our travels, I'm like, this could be something if, you know, if he really wanted to take it further than just playing. I mean, we dug into the what if barrel and said, hey, maybe one day you'll have your own team, you know. Yeah. I mean, sky's the limit, right? You know, so I mean, it actually bothers me when I hear about parents or kids that are complaining, or you know, they talk about how their parents are not really there for them when it comes to their passion. As a matter of fact, I had a young man reach out over the weekend. I think he's either in the UK or Scotland or something. And you know, his father is old school, and I think he's a doctor. You know, I think he's from the Middle Eastern, I think. So he was like, hey, you know, he wants him to be a doctor as well. And he's got this huge, huge passion for Fortnite, I think is the game. But his dad just isn't behind him at all, and he gets discouraged. And I'm like, man, so, you know, we just kind of went back and forth on maybe what he could say to him. Or I even told him to maybe tune in and listen to you guys and you know, maybe to get a different perspective on things. So, which, by the way, I think it's really great that you guys are doing this. Not just,
thank you.
Not just having a rock star guy like me on, but like helping to, you know, maybe improve the community by shedding some light potentially. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Because I've had some of these same type of conversations with family, friends, people I work with. I tell them, like, football started off in a field behind somebody's house. Like,
yep.
At some point, a game that you play for recreation will become competitive enough that it becomes a professional sport, and that's what we're looking at video games right now.
I think I saw an ESPN. They had a freaking cup stacking competition. I think, and I'm like, I'm like, if people are taking it that seriously, there's no way that video games could be looked at in a different light. Yeah. I mean, the skill set you have to have, because like I've tried playing some of these games and I'm like, I just gave up after, you know, 30, 40 seconds of, I was just like, it's like putting me on the basketball court with Shaq. I mean, it was, I mean, you have to have some amazing, you know, hand-eye coordination and game sense. So I understand it. I see it. And this is coming from the guy who rarely ever watches his son play, but I understand what it takes to play at that level. So, you know, and here's the thing. I mean, it's not for everybody. I mean, just like any competitive thing, sports or whatnot, you're going to have to be in the 1% of the 1% if you really want to, you know, but they're out there. They're out there. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So now, being a parent, having a son that plays a video game professionally, and not just in online tournaments, but you've been to Germany, you've been to Korea. What have been some of your bigger challenges handling the esports career and just the general life of having an esports child?
Ah, that's a Another really good question. So, challenges. One of the ones that stand out would be, so my son is 14, in case anyone didn't know, and is playing with players that are 18, 19, 20, you know, early to mid 20s, I think is probably the high end age range. And so probably the toughest part is, you know, he has the mindset and skill set of an 18 to 22 year old, but he's still only 14. And so imagine I'm having 18 to 22 year old conversations with a 14 year old and explaining why he can't do certain things or he needs to do other certain things that, you know, maybe the older guys don't have to, right? And I'm not talking about a bunch of, like, you know, crazy stuff that you do when I just mean like the freedoms that an adult, quote unquote, 18 and up has versus a 13, 14 year old. And that's been tough. I mean, not anything that isn't being handled, but that's probably maybe the hardest thing is, like, you know, you can't go fly to Atlanta by yourself. like legally, I don't even think we're allowed to let him do that,
right?
You know, without signing some sort of parental, you know, rights to somebody else. I mean, so stuff like that, yeah, if that makes any sense, is, I'm trying to think. Oh, I know another easy one, actually, now that I think about it. Now you're causing me to think.
Keeping you on your toes.
So, yeah. So, I don't know if this is standard for gamers in general. And I'll include you guys, too, because I'm sure you maybe fall into the same category. But the gaming community seems to have some of the most screwed up eating and sleeping habits that I've ever known. And the reason I say that is it's not just, you know, my son. It's after, you know, meeting a lot of the other players and coaches and casters and all that. I'm like, how are you guys not like all 300 pounds and completely out of shape, like not just physically, but it works. I mean, whatever they do, they're doing it. But that's me as a parent, just, you know, wanting to make sure that diet and sleep and all that goes out the window. Cause I think what happens is he plays with guys in Australia or Korea or wherever, and so they don't always bend to his sleeping patterns. He has to, or West Coast, you know, that's a whole nother conversation because I don't even know what the deal is, but I guess there's a East Coast, West Coast, not like Biggie and Tupac, but I mean, I don't know if it's the ping or something I've read that, I don't know, maybe you can explain it, what the difference is between players on the East and West. They have
server locations on the West Coast and server locations on the East Coast, and you can choose between them. So if you live on the East Coast, you play on the East Coast, you have better ping, but you can opt into playing in the other regions. It'll raise your ping, but you might play with a different skill set. So
that might be a little bit.
So if he's playing with some guys who live on the West Coast, you know, I mean, even with me and Kyle, like, you know, it's 6:30 here. It's only 3:30 where Kyle is. It gets a little wonky with time zones. We've experienced that a couple times.
With the whole diet exercise, it's something interesting because I feel like up until you get to a certain point, people don't care. But then once you start reaching like the upper echelons of even pro play, like that's something that a lot of pros have kind of taken to realizing is that like you can't eat crappy food all day and right. still be able to like play at the top of your game, especially when you're getting into like your mid-20s. Like you can probably survive like that up until you're like 18, 19, 20. But like once you're trying to sustain a career in your mid-20s, getting around my age, like you need to start eating healthier and exercising so you can kind of keep your mind at that same level that you can just do anything to at like 15, 16. But like I think that's something that the more mature and experienced pro players are starting to get into. We hear lots and lots of pros about lots of pros talking about them going to the gym and eating healthy and having like a pro chef and all that kind of stuff helps a lot. So it's good to see that kind of coming in.
It is kind of cool because I think I was watching a video one time of one of the, you know, they'll give like a tour of the team house. And it's like these jokers have like chefs that are like full-time staff. And I know that a lot of the teams comprise of foreign players, mainly Korea, and they were like cooking Korean food. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool that, you know, they're really catering to them. Not just, you know, In-N-Out burger every day or whatever. Because, you know, one of the cool things that, like, I learned in the Atlantic Showdown, and I was talking to one of the Blizzard staff, and they were talking about, like, you know, like, after parties and stuff like that. And you know, when I hear after party, I'm just automatically assuming everybody's just getting plastered, you know, like, you know, these are professionals and they're making money and, you know, they're just teenagers or 20 somethings. And like, and they're like, no, these guys, like, they want to make sure that they are at their top, you know, mental and, you know, whatever other stuff they need to have together in order to be, you know, on their A game. And I was like, well, that's kind of cool. Like, nobody's out, you know, like when you hear a professional athletes, maybe in the NFL or NBA, it's just like, oh my God, you don't know what you're walking into with some of these parties. But, you know, these kids are, you know, we're playing Mario Kart, you know, at the after party. It's like, hey, if that's the worst it gets, then, you know, I'll take it. So,
next question is, how do you explain with like other parents, maybe not in the esports world? So maybe at other, you know, when you other kids, parents and stuff like that, when they ask about, oh, where's your son? Like, why is he doing this weekend? Or like, where are you traveling for? And how do you explain to them that you have a child that plays a game professionally and that you're traveling with him to go to all these things?
Oh, that's easy. I tell them that, he's making more than some people that I know with master's degrees. And so it becomes an easy conversation when they're asking, like, well, what does he do? You know, I let them know up front, he is a professional. I mean, like, you know, not maybe not everybody looks at it that way, but, you know, he has a contract with a team that's owned by Cox Communications. And so when I have these kinds of conversations with, you know, friends and family, you know, most of them are like, wow, that's actually really, really awesome. And, you know, even before the traveling that we were doing, just knowing he was part of something that, you know, was kind of a big deal. Mind you, I had zero understanding of the game and the community up until about a year ago, which is when he signed his contract and joined Atlanta. So, so this whole world is this Overwatch universe is just like, it's enlightening. Like I mentioned earlier, but, you know, I just let him know he's just like any other athlete. You know, he's got practice. He's got scrimmages, he's got tournaments, games, and I mean, he's competitive. You know, he's one of the most competitive dudes. You know, even when he was playing traditional sports like soccer, I mean, he would practice hard, you know. So I think that's just in him, like what's probably the case with a lot of, you know, these esports players. So our conversations have gone pretty easily, actually. Yeah, yeah. At first I thought, you know, people would be looking at me weird or questioning, but, and by the way, I'm including like older, you know, real boomers, like
right.
Yeah, 60, 70 plus year olds are understanding and curious and genuinely supportive and happy for him. So yeah, it's all love.
Awesome.
Yeah, I definitely
got some questions for you. I got questions for you guys, actually.
For sure. Go ahead.
Have you ever had a guest ask you guys questions?
This not yet. I don't think so.
I think this would be the first time, yeah.
All right. So because the kids are homeschooled, we meet people, just random other kids, other adults. And so, like, you know, rather than the whole, oh, what do you like to do, blah, 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 you know, we've got something called F the BS, right?
Okay.
And so the F, so we'll start with you, Kyle. So okay. So the F stands for food, right? Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite food?
Chicken with pasta.
Chicken with pasta. Okay, cool. Chicken with pasta. All right. And then the next part is BS, right? So B stands for your favorite book. And if you don't read a lot, then you could choose your favorite movie. But favorite book?
Favorite book, probably. Probably The Hobbit.
The Hobbit, nice. All right, so chicken and pasta, then The Hobbit, right? And then the S, this is where you get squeamish. S is, what's something nobody knows about you? Something that, like, your mother doesn't know, your spouse or best friend. Just,
jeez.
And it doesn't have to be inappropriate. Okay. It could just be any.
Oh, that's difficult. Let's see. I don't know. I got, at one point I got pulled over for driving with some friends before I was supposed to be able to drive with people with my driver's license. And nice. I was expecting to get a ticket, but the cop let me off because I was, you know, I was like 16 and it was like the first time I've driven with friends before. So,
all right, we'll take that. All right, Thorn Rain, F is, what's your favorite food?
Oh, man. I love food.
Okay. So you're going to the electric chair and it's your last meal. So, you know, you got to make it count, right?
If I'm making it count, if I'm going to the electric chair, I want a sirloin steak with a house salad and a side of Arizona Ranch buffalo wings. That's like,
nice.
I love it.
How do you like your steak?
Medium rare.
That's the same way.
The only way.
Is it like,
all right.
Every once in a while I can go rare, but never go above medium rare. My gotcha. Favorite
all right.
book?
Book.
Yep. It would probably actually be a series of books. It's by an author named Jonathan Mayberry. It's the Fire and Ash series. It's the zombie apocalypse, but set like years into it. It's like kids are starting to be raised and like growing up. And it's a very interesting series. Good books. Jonathan Mayberry. Check them out.
What was it called again?
Fire and Ash.
Fire and Ash. Yep. Got a Fire and Ash.
Right. Something that no one knows about me. Oh man, that's actually a really tough one. Okay, something that it only my friends who did this with me know about this. Because at the time, it was really stupid.
It usually is, right?
And really dangerous. Okay. When I was in high school, we played Dungeons and Dragons. We didn't LARP or anything like that, but we got bored. So we decided that one weekend we were going to live the weekend on the roll of a dice. And we literally made all of our decisions for the weekend based on rolling as if we were playing D&D. So, like, I was the only one who had a car. So my buddy said, we want you to turf the lawn of the high school. Roll. So I rolled my D20 and I got a natural one. So I had to turf the lawn while flashing and beeping my horn. Nice. So that's literally awesome. Probably like one of the biggest things that not very many people know about me. Only a handful of my friends who were in the car with me that weekend. We lived a weekend on the back of a D20.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's fun time. Cool. I like that. That's the F the BS. I like that.
F the BS. I mean, that literally, you know, breaks the ice usually. Yeah. And it's a lot better than, oh, what do you do for a living? Or what are you in school studying? And it's like,
it makes you think. BS.
It does. It does. So awesome. Good to know. Yeah. Good to know about you guys. So the next time we, or if we ever link up, it's steaks and chicken and pasta and the Hobbit and fire and ash and we'll do donuts in some parking lot somewhere.
I'll bring my dice.
There you go.
So you've got to experience a lot of things. You've got to see your son just do amazing things. So far, what has been your proudest moment on this journey with your son in esports?
Proudest moment. All right, so at the Atlantic Showdown, there wasn't a very large NA representation, let alone Atlanta Academy representation there. So we were the minority for sure. So I don't remember who our guys were playing. I want to say maybe it was like Angry Titans or something. And like the crowd was like, I mean, they were really cheering hard for the Titans. And then like when we would do well, they'd start booing or, you know, whatever. It was very obvious. Mm-hmm. And so I think our guys were like down one to nothing. And like, again, I don't have a clue what I'm watching, just so you know. I heavily, heavily rely on the casters to understand what's happening in the game. And so, like, you know, they're in, like, the final whatever push or whatever, final point. And, you know, they're cheering and cheering, and then all of a sudden the crowd starts booing. And I'm like, well, what just happened? And the guy next to me was like, Atlanta just got the point. And the guy went in and teabagged the other player. I was like, well, who was it? And it was like, oh, Sugar Free. And then I just like burst out like I had won the lottery. I mean, you could probably hear me if you watch it. So I would say that was a pretty proud moment that, you know, he went in for the tactical crouch, I think is what it's called.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah. That was a proud dad moment. Not that I like taught him how to do it or anything, but I guess within the game, you have the ability to do that. But if I had to pick like a serious one, I would say in Korea, I mean, those guys played their hearts out. I think when they beat that one team, it was the pink team.
Runaway.
Yep.
Runaway. Like, not only did they beat them, but they 4-0'd those guys. And
first team to do it against that roster lineup too. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, I know it was a big deal that they went, like, they didn't lose a map. I think that was a big deal. But, like, I think a lot of people, myself included, were like, how are our guys going to do in Korea? I mean, that's, you know, these are their guys that are like freaking gladiators out there. And when they did that, I was like, okay, these guys are beast mode. I mean, because not that, you know, the NA teams that they beat were scrubs, but right. I mean, I think they were playing at the highest level and they brought it. So I would say between the teabag and the pink team getting rolled, that'd be my proudest moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
The pink team. I shouldn't say it. What is their name again?
Runaway.
Yeah, they are a fan favorite in Korea too, so that was probably a pretty big overcoming the odds there.
Yeah, that was cool.
So you kind of talked about it, but at the Atlantic Showdown, you got interviewed on the casting couch by Avast and ZP. What was that kind of experience like? Was that kind of your first like in front of the live camera kind of deal, or like
it was? Wait,
what was kind of going through your mind doing that?
It was cool. By that time, I think we had already been in Germany for like a week or so. And so like I had the opportunity to meet some of the other staff and coaches and players. So like, you know, it wasn't like there were hundreds and hundreds of us there. It was a smaller, when I say us, I mean North Americans. And so it was very easy to meet and get to know some of the other folks. So by that time, you know, I'm already buddies with ZP and Avast, and our mutual friend Dan had come up to the room, I think, the night before, because Sugar Free had the flu, and like they were talking about taking him to the hospital. I mean, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's when I learned that, man, this is a really awesome community here. I think it was Dan's idea, I want to say, to have me on the couch, because like he literally asked me like maybe 10 minutes before, like, hey, you know, you okay if we ask you a couple questions? Like, whatever. We were in Amsterdam yesterday. I don't really care. But no, everybody we met there was just really down to earth. I mean, yeah, and that was my first experience at a live LAN event. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty cool. Pretty neat.
Cool. So kind of sticking to the gauntlet and the showdown. We know that there are a ton of tier two. So if I remember correctly, at the showdown, you made mention of like your starting six, like you had positions for other parents. So has there been any like sort of bonds formed within the parents of tier two that you've met and, you know, communicated with?
Absolutely. I think probably no more than a week goes by that there's not a text chain between myself and some of the other parents, because it was the first experience for all of us, you know, not just myself. And like, you know, for the first time, you know, we had got to meet other moms and dads that had been experiencing everything we had been experiencing. And we're sitting here thinking like, man, like your kid eats at 3:30 in the morning too, like DoorDash, or you know, your kid is, sometimes you can't wake them up at, you know, 8, 9 in the morning, or I mean, so like to be able to just relate to others going through the same thing, and you know, the parents, you know, we were all like, just we were wondering, what in the heck are we going to get ourselves into while we're here? and I'm very thankful that, you know, we had such a great group that we just rented a car. And like I mentioned earlier, we just drove to Amsterdam. And I mean, we just bugged out. I think we had literally had more fun than the players did, because once they were in the zone and practicing and all that, you know, if they weren't sleeping, they were practicing, and they didn't need us, you know. So we were like, all right, F it. You know, we're taking the train to Dusseldorf, and, you know, we're going to go have some wiener schnitzel. And I don't drink, but the rest of the gang, they were just getting lit, because it's Germany, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what other place do you not have? Drink.
Yeah. What's that?
I was gonna say, what other place is, yeah, like, there's nothing better than going and getting a beer in Germany. Like, that's what they're known for.
Oh my God. Absolutely. And then, you know, like a day trip to Amsterdam. I mean, that was so much fun. I mean, like even after these kids are grown and moving on to whatever, law school or whatever, I think we'll still be in contact with the parents, because we definitely built a cool bond, I would say.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Excuse me.
So yeah, kind of the last question we have here is, this is like, when eventually, because he's what, 14 now? So in 4 years, when he's able to sign that first Overwatch League contract, what place would you kind of selfishly want him to go? Like, where would you want him to sign? Would you, do you think that, like, do you really like the Atlanta staff and you want him to go to Atlanta? Or you're like, I've always wanted to go to New York, so let's have him go sign to New York or whatever.
That's funny. You know, I would pick the team that's going to pay him the most amount of money. That'd be my favorite team. No, it's funny. Oh, there was a third part to the question when you asked about when did I realize that, you know, this was something.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I was listening to a podcast. It wasn't you guys. So it was, I don't remember. I think it's an Overwatch League podcast. And they were talking about him in that one of the matches that he was playing. And they were like, you know, screw Mr. 150K. Kid, and I'm like, there's a 150K kid out there, right? And they were like, you know, this is the 250K or 300K. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it is, what they said exactly, but it was along those lines. And I'm like, okay, there really is something pretty big here. But no, I really, really, after meeting the team, Atlanta, I mean, hands down, I think we have the best team. And I don't just mean player wise. I mean, the staff is just, in my opinion, I mean, I don't know, because I've not met, you know, many people from a lot of the other teams, but Atlanta just seems to have a special, like, sauce.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. Maybe it's because it's kind of a mixed roster, maybe, that it's, you know, you got guys like Gator with his high waters, and then you've got, you know, guys that don't speak any English, you know, and then you got everything in between. And so I would have to say Atlanta. I even have my check this out, I got dressed for the occasion. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, we got the jersey on. Look at that.
I do. I do. Official. So and I would say Atlanta has the best, like, art.
Mm-hmm.
Artists.
Those jerseys were great.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we need to maybe we'll, like, raffle one off or something. for, I don't know. You'd have to, maybe you guys come up with some contest. So
we could definitely do that.
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
And with the way that, because there's a ton of people that just love everything about Atlanta. I mean, you got Dogman down there talking trash.
Yeah.
You got Sugar Free, who it seems like everybody you talk to, he gets younger and younger. I've heard people say that he's like 4 and clicking heads. So, I'm sure we could come up with something.
He's the best fetus. Yeah. Exactly. No, I think that's another cool thing about Atlanta is like the personalities too. Like, mm-hmm. who's that other dude that is kind of a jokester? I just remember him like drop kicking the head of the mascot. Yeah, that guy. So he's pretty crazy. Yeah. And Dogman and Fried Wiener, I met them out at
finally somebody that got his name right.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know his name was anything other than that. Is it?
People call him FRD a lot.
Yeah, people don't like saying the Fried Wiener. Like, I don't know why. Like, that's his name. So everybody's FRD or Fred.
Is that somehow like offensive to some people? Is that why? Or
I don't think. Okay. I think it's just a little. It's just a little awkward. A little bit weird.
See, I
gotcha. I mean, I think. Figured out all the names are a little awkward and weird. I mean, his other team was last night's leftovers, and it was a freaking hot dog with toothpaste. I mean, like,
yep.
I mean, I figure that's par for the course, right? For being on a team, but anywho. So no, Atlanta, hands down. I think, man. I don't know if you saw that video from DreamHack. The governor of Georgia was like, there's, you know, Atlanta rain or the team is going to be investing like $100 million into the infrastructure or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, how can you not get behind a team that's that
true
forward thinking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
Awesome.
But, long answer, Atlanta, ATL.
I can get behind it.
Plus, that is Sugar Free's favorite color, red. So, nice. A lot of his clothing and equipment and stuff is kind of that red and white or red and black. So, falls into place.
Yeah, I grew up just outside of Atlanta. So, when Atlanta came into the Overwatch League, it was an easy pickup as my favorite team. And then they picked up last night's leftovers as their academy team, and we had been covering them, and we spoke with Dogman and loved watching Dogman, and then they bring him up and I'm like, this is 100% my team. So I can get down with Sugar Free going to Atlanta. I support that.
There you go. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, unless they've got some other, you know, beast of a DPS. You like that? I even know his position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which it took me a while, but I learned. But I think they're here to stay. I think they're gonna take this next season or this next year. So we'll see.
Definitely right? Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So I believe that's everything for tonight. Want to thank you for coming on and chatting with us. It was awesome. Getting to hear about your travels and just how you handle. Believe me, I've went through the handling other adults who don't necessarily understand how you can allow your child to play video games professionally, semi-professionally. And getting somebody else on to talk about it is phenomenal. And I want to thank you for coming on and talking to us about it.
Hey, thank you guys. I mean, I've mentioned it before. You guys put on a real, really good show, and keep it up. I look forward to this new season, and guys doing great.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, start wrapping up the show. Kyle, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me basically on Twitter at Kyle the Winner, and then on the High Noon Podcast Discord as well. I'm on there if you want to talk Overwatch or Tier 2 stuff. Come on High Noon Discord.me/High Noon Podcast.
And Sugar Dad, where can the listeners find you on the internet?
They can find me work. Oh, on the internet. I was going to say, you know, working 14, 15 hours a day. I'm on Twitter, and I think it's at Busy Filipino or Filipino One, something like that. But I'm not too big on the Twitter. But if anybody wanted to reach,
you do have some pretty good takes on Twitter, though. I follow you, so you
oh, nice. Awesome.
You are kind of killing the Twitter game there, sir.
Hey, I'll my 2020 resolution is to step up my Twitter game. How about that?
Nice.
Sounds fair.
I'll be the boomer ATL content creator on the team.
Perfect.
And ATL would be the team that would do that. So you put into it, I'm sure you could get that job.
There you go. Put my resume together.
But you can find me on Twitter at Thorn Rain. I do all my streaming right here on the Blackwatch Report Twitch channel. If you're an audio listener, swing by the Twitch channel, make that free Twitch account, hit that that follow button. We shout out all of our follows. And if you happen to have Amazon Prime, you got a Twitch Prime. We are affiliates. You can hit that subscribe button and help out the show. If you want to help out the show completely free, swing over to iTunes or any of your podcast apps of choice. Leave a review, 1-star, 5-star. We read all of them. Make Kyle do a little bit of extra work every week. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report and email the show, blackwatchreport@gmail.com, and follow the show on Twitch right here at twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, and our intro music is an original piece by our own Mr. Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com, and come and chat on that Discord that Kyle was talking about over at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out. We'll be right back.